We're continuing in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, many have made the similitude or pointed out the resemblance that it has kind of like a little miniature Bible in that there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, like there's 66 books in the entire Bible. The first 39 chapters in the book of Isaiah are judgmental, you know, prophetic, much like the 39 books of the Old Testament. The remaining 27 chapters in the book of Isaiah, where we begin today, which takes a turn, really takes a positive turn. It speaks of God's comfort and hope and things to come and the positive future for the nation Israel, like the 27 books of the New Testament. And this morning we're, you know, blessed to be landed upon chapter 40. For in chapter 40, you know, it's a positive, great chapter is what it is. And it speaks of God's comfort. And, you know, as Isaiah goes on, 41 speaks of God's comfort of coming, the coming Messiah. And so forth. Cyrus and his delivery, deliverance he brings. The comfort that they offer and bring through the turn of events that's up and coming for the nation Israel. But to be touched by his comfort, the likeness of the formation of the book of Isaiah compared to the whole Bible coming to chapter 40 is like entering the New Testament, as it were. Notice in verse 1, chapter 40. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The just punishment has been paid. Praise the Lord. Bring comfort. Speak comfort. It's time of comfort now. Takes this switch. I challenge you this morning. If you're in need of comfort, open up your heart. The Bible tells us that God sent forth his word and it brought forth healing. And, you know, it's no accident. It's not like something I drummed up, you know, yesterday or this week, the message of comfort. It's where we're at this morning, available for us. But I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this first portion of the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Each valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Good stuff. Lord, we look to you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. And this morning, we ask that you open our hearts and our ears and our understanding, that we would be You speak to us, Lord. Reveal revelation to our heart, to our life, to our present condition or state, that we might go forward, step up, grow. Lord, we commit this time to you, and we ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So really, the beginning of the message in verse 1 gives the purpose of the message. And the purpose of the message is to bring comfort. Bring comfort. Speak comfort. The availability of the comfort. That word for comfort in the Hebrew is nakam. And, you know, it's used some 108 times in the Bible, in the King James Version of the Bible. It's translated differently. 57 times, it's translated comfort. 41 times, repent. 9, comforter. 1, ease. It means to be sorry. To be sorry for your condition to the point that I have compassion on you. I think, you know, I'm studying this, I'm thinking, you know, a funeral. Someone passes away. And you want, you know, so often I hug, you know, the loved ones of the one suffering, the family. I am so sorry. You know, I can't say anything else, but I am sorry for your loss. You know, they're grieving. But this is like that type of heart of compassion towards Israel or us. And it brings forth compassion. It expresses God's concern. His love, His care. He cares for us. He loves us. And in it, you know, really brings forth through this chapter, you know, ways God comforts or ways we can be comforted. To be sorry, to have compassion, a sorrow, grief, misery, from a relief from misery. Defined in the electronic dictionary, the Bible tells us, or the dictionary tells us, it defined this word comfort means to bring hope or to console or consolation. An act or instance of giving what will benefit or assist. To give a hand, a lift, relief, support. In a word, help. It's experienced, this comfort or this help. It makes brighter a person. This is all in the dictionary. Makes brighter a person overcome by grief or misery. To light up, to be lit up, to be touched. You know, I liken it to, you know, being touched by God. Your countenance lights up. You know, being in a place, needing help. You know, needing comfort, needing His touch, needing relief. So often I'm in that place. I need your touch, Lord. I need to be lifted up. I need to be ministered to. I need your help. Raised up, in a literal sense. They're in captivity. There's the best is yet to come. Speak comfort to them, Isaiah. Bring forth glad tidings. Time of favor and deliverance is at hand. Yet future for the nation Israel. The hope, the comfort of God. See, things are turning around here. We're now in the New Testament portion of the book of Isaiah. Things are at God's hand, and later we'll see in a few more chapters, it's through the raising up and the use of Cyrus, the king, who brings forth the deliverance for the nation Israel. Hey, hope is on its way. Things are looking up. The best is yet to come. You know, we don't have to be in the midst or experiencing hope directly, but man, if you have hope, it'll lift you up. If you know you got tangible hope, you know, what's coming? Oh, it's coming. That's what brought forth hope to them. But, you know, literally, that's the literal sense. They're in captivity. Isaiah, tell them, man, speak forth comfort to my people. It's coming. Things are going to turn around. Now, without comfort, the Bible gives really some verses. I'll just read them to you. In Ecclesiastes 4:1, this is without that comfort. Then I returned and considered all the oppression is done under the sun. and look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. They're not comforted. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. The Bible tells us without that comfort, without experiencing that comfort, it can be a state of oppression. Jeremiah writes of, you know, being in that state without comfort or not having the comforter. And, you know, his book that follows the book of Jeremiah in Lamentations, that's a book of woe. That's what it is. It's a book of crying and wailing and sadness. But in it, he describes the condition or a state of a person without comfort. In verse 9, chapter 1, her uncleanness is in her. Is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. Afflicted. Didn't see it coming. We don't know what's coming. You know, it can remove or dissemble your hope, your comfort, your relief. In 1:16 in Lamentations, the Bible says, a person without comfort, for those things I weep, my eye overflows with water. I'm crying because the comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. You know, condition, the Bible explains, of being without that touch, being without the comforter, not experiencing the comfort that God can bring. And, you know, this morning, though, it's not being without, it's the offer to experience. Speak forth comfort. Comfort available at his hand. And it really gives the medium by which the comfort comes. Notice in, the first point we read this morning was, it has to be on his terms to receive his comfort. Verse 1 talks about, tell my people, speak comfort. The war is over, man. Now, the war may not be over if you're not on his terms. I could be in a midst of struggle this morning if I'm against God or fighting him. I might not have peace in my own soul, but the offer is there for peace. Tell my people comfort. The war is over. Their iniquity is forgiven. I'll tell them, you know, the punishment for their sins has been met. You know, they were being chastised for their idolatry, brought into Babylon, into captivity. But God's telling the prophet Isaiah, tell my people, hey man, the punishment's over. You met the terms of your chastisement. Forgiveness is now flowing. And comfort's at hand. And the war's over. There's peace, comfort, available. The realization that it's on his terms brings forth comfort to us. It's not on our terms, not on my terms. The worst thing I do, knowing the word as I do, is fight the Lord. Push my own will in one thing or another. It's miserable. I can relate the book of Ecclesiastes. There's oppression. It's misery. I'm afflicted. Where's my comforter? He's far from me. He's not far from me. I've turned on him. The end of the war, the peacetime is available. Speak comfort to my people. Forgiveness. But it's all based upon being on his terms. Then notice, you know, I love the Bible. In verse 3, you know, not only is this like a resembles the New Testament, you know, and how its formation, but notice in verse 3 it talks about the forerunner, John the Baptist. The one who comes on the scene in the beginning of the Bible, the New Testament, the one who, is written about in the beginning of the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. John the Baptist in verse 3. Spoken of the forerunner, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He's the one that cried out, hey, get it together. You know, his ministry of repentance. What's interesting is when they came to John the Baptist, they said, "Hey, John the Baptist, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one to come?" He said, "No, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." He quotes this scripture. He knew who he was. So he's saying, "Hey, I'm the forerunner, but he's coming. Get ready for him. Prepare your hearts for him." And you got some uneven spaces in your heart, smooth them out. It's almost like prepare, build a highway into your heart for his coming, you know, inroads for Jesus Christ into your life. Make him comfortable. Peter said, you know, we're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, as we just covered Wednesday. Sanctify him. Let him in. Let him make sure he's comfortable in you. That makes change. That's what his ministry was all about, repentance. You got to change in order for him to be comfortable in your heart and in mine. Because the way we live in our sinful state, we need to change. As part of experiences, his comfort is, you know, opening the door and letting him be comfortable. Who he is. He's different than me. I have to conform to him on his terms. In order for me to experience his comfort, his peace, the hope that he brings, I have to change to him. Not what I think I should change. You know, my erroneous zones. I need to conform to him. That's what he's saying. You know, hey, prepare your life, your road for him. It's a ministry of repentance. So the second thing, you know, a realization that brings forth his comfort, or I can sense his comfort today, this morning, is available to me. His comfort's at hand. That's what the message is about. Do you need comfort? You need a touch? It's at hand. His hand. But it's on his terms. And, so, you know, we need to change in order to meet his terms. To prepare or build a highway for him. Inroads for Jesus Christ takes repentance. The Bible tells us, you know, and gives us a little synopsis here of really who we are. It's kind of interesting, you know. Got to meet his terms. Got to change, conform my heart, my life today to him. If I want his fullness, I want him. I want his comfort. I want his spirit. Then I need to do it his way. And then the Bible tells us, you know, here in this chapter, in the portion we read, kind of through the scripture, we come to the realization of who we are. You know, he's saying, you're like grass. You know, people, like a flower that fadeth or the grass that withers. You come to that understanding, self-realization, when you go to the scripture. Now, without the scripture, I'm working on my own self-esteem. My pride is, you know, through the roof, because that's what I need to do in order to maintain a high self-esteem, thinking who I am, I can do it, my own good, my greatness, my abilities. But you confront the scripture brings you down into reality, that you're nothing, I'm nothing, he's everything. And he makes that contrast or that comparison, you know, grass withers, but the word of God endures forever. It's eternal. You think about our life, you know, the little dash in between, you know, whatever year you were born and the year you die. And you take that little, I did that one time. I figured the whole timeline since creation based upon the early earth creation, you know, theory. And I made a line. And I kind of made slashes of how long that line is. Then I put my line in there. How insignificant my line, you know, in the big line. We're temporary. He's eternal. He tells us who we are when we come in the scriptures. You know, notice he uses the description of a flower. Now, a flower is beautiful. It blooms, but it fades quickly. You know, you think of, I'm not in any way disrespecting Farrah Fawcett. But when I was a teenager, she was like the hot babe, you know. Everybody had a poster of her. She's the flower fading. Now she's gone. She's passed. Temporary. The flower fadeth. But the word of the Lord endures forever. That same illustration applies to every one of us. You know, and the scripture gives us self-realization. Hey, who I am? I'm nothing. I'm in need of him. I'm in need of his touch. I'm in need of his help. I'm helpless without him. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to depend on him and rely upon him, but I need to rely upon him. I come into that realization through the scripture. Not because it's my faith choice, because it's my existence purpose and need from the core. I need him. Coming into that realization through the scripture, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So, you know, terms to be met are his. Got to change, make adjustments, realign according to his terms because of who I am, to experience his comfort, his peace. Coming into the realization of who we are through scripture, we're only human. And being only human, we need him. Owning that need, walking in that need. The realization that the word of the Lord endures forever. The Bible is, you know, the comfort explanationary guide. You want comfort? God is the God of all comfort. But how do I know the God of all comfort? I go to the scripture. I meet him. I know him through the word, the truth of the word. The word of the Lord endures forever. The next point is the Bible's place in me in experiencing God's comfort. God's word is eternal. You know, one of the things is, you know, our yet future, you start seeing what's coming. He gives us an apprehension of the times. Things are going to get worse. You know, there's a world economy, a world religion, and a one world government that's forming. We see it taking place. It's not going to be for our benefit. It's going to be for the rise of the Antichrist and his position over this world. We see it coming. It's in the scripture. We see it forming before us. But we know because of the scripture. And it gives us a heads up. So we have comfort through the change. And the Bible's eternal. The promises in the Bible are for us, those who believe in him, those who received him. The context of the Bible and my nothingness and God's everythingness. Coming to him on his terms. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will last forever. So we see who we are in the scripture. We see it's through the scripture that we learn and understand these things spiritually. And we see who God is. You know, the portion we read this morning, you know, we read about God's almighty greatness and who he is. Who will you liken me to? God says. Who are you going to compare God to? Who's going to take me aside and give me counsel? That's what he's asking. Who's going to take me aside and say, hey, who's going to give me my first break to change my life around? Who this morning, the show, raise your hands. Who will give God direction this morning? Sarcasm towards idiot children. And the truth is, he does that for us. He counsels me. He's God. He's everything. I'm nothing. Coming to the realization that through the Bible. Seek the comfort of him by the realization of that through the Bible. You know, he says, who can take him and tell him what to do? When did he get it together? You know, the time you can trace back when he entered your life or he touched your life and changed your life and turned your life around. When did you do that for God? The facetious question is, he does that for us. Who God is what the Bible tells us. He changes us. He's almighty. He's all great. The Bible says that he put all the, you know, just a couple of, you know, he being the creator, put the water on the earth with the hollow of his hand. He measures the heavens with the span. The Bible tells us, you know, this is a span right here. We can't measure it with modern technology and our Hubble telescope, and the scientists today can't tell you how big the universe is. All they can say is it's expanding. Yeah, and yet, it's about a span. He knows all the stars by name. Not one of them got away. Not one of them. He created them all. Who he is, how great he is. The Bible tells us of his greatness. The nations are like a drop in the bucket, we read this morning. In verse 16, notice, you know, he poses this question. You know, Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts sufficient for all the breeze. If you take all the cedar trees in Lebanon, put them in a big bonfire and light them, it's not sufficient for a burnt offering before God. Take all the beasts on planet Earth, burn them up, not sufficient. Only the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for the forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus Christ will bring forth the comfort and will allocate or allow me or you to tap in to God's comfort through the blood of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his forgiveness. But all the trees in Lebanon won't do it. You know, who are you going to compare me to, God says. God is almighty. Through the scripture that he lasts forever, we see who we are. We see who God is, almighty God. It's on his terms. We're to change and repent to experience his comfort. I discover who I am in truth. When I come before God in the light of who he is, I discover who I am in my nothingness, in my need, my sinfulness, my depravity. In the light of his countenance, I see my sin, how dark my heart is, my need for him and his forgiveness. And he sets forth the only way that the, you know, in verse 1 says, your iniquities are forgiven, you're pardoned, is through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. But he goes on who God is. He cares for us. He loves us. And he wants to help. You know, you think of there's comfort in a touch and, you know, you can contact God. It's at his hand and it's here this morning. That's what the Bible tells us. And yet, you know, it's on his terms. But, yeah, do I really want to come and open my heart all the way? Do I want to trust him? He loves us. You know, giving who he is, the Bible tells us his nature, his character towards us. You know, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He loves us. Who he is. You know, he shall gather them in his arms. He embraces his children. He wants, you know, suffer not the children to come unto me. He loves us. He will lead those that are with young. Lead. Gently lead. His way. You know, there's a difference between driving and leading. Ken Graves says, you know, you think about driving, you see a cowboy on a horse with a whip driving the cattle across the ranch. Or I think about driving a truck. You know, you got to push the pedal. You're trying to get there on time. You got a schedule to meet. But he gently leads. He's got a different type of character that we come to tap into his comfort. He gently leads. He cares for us. You know, chapter 41, we're not going to get into, but that's about Jesus coming. And there's a great scripture in Psalms. I'll turn to it if you want to turn to it. It's 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. His love. He cares. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. His character, his nature, gentle. Later on in Isaiah, he says, you know, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. If he sees a little flicker, he's not going to, I'm through with you. I had enough of you, you dumb imbecile. His nature is, he stirs up, gets the fire going, gently. His nature, lovingly. Who he is, why I am attracted to him, why and how we come to know his comfort that's available this morning, who God is, his greatness, his love, his care, his treatment of us, feed and gather and carry. I'll carry them in my bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And then finally, to be a recipient. To tap in to his comfort, his love, and who he is this morning. You know, I often say, I want a touch from God. I need a touch from God. I was in that place a few times over the road, man. I got to pass my limit. Went into a truck stop, chaplain thing, prayed with a guy. Received a touch. But needing a touch, man, you get overwhelmed. You might be there this morning. You need a touch. But to be a recipient, he gives us some things, you know, what our end is. Not only who God is and who he shows, how he shows us who we are, you know, in the terms, repentance, the future yet to come, the iniquity, pardoned, forgiveness, flowing, the war is over on his terms. But to be a recipient of his love, his comfort, his blood, his peace. Look in verse 26. The Bible says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Lift up your eyes. Look up. That's the first condition to be met. I remember Carmen used to say, hey, are you under your circumstances? You want to get above your circumstances? Look up. You know, we got to look up. So often we're in our own little scope of things. I remember it took me a long time before I came into the revelation that other people had a life. I was so isolated in my own self-centered life. It came into the revelation to me that everybody has that same world going on in them. And yet, you know, we're to lift up our eyes. Not only recognize the Creator in His majesty and greatness, but who He is. You know, we're not to look up our eyes and see, you know, Jupiter and Mars, but Him who created the heavens. Look at the one who created, he says. Lift up your eyes as a recipient to tap into His comfort. Notice in verse 29, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no strength, might he increases the availability of his touch and power. He says, lift up your eyes. And then in verse 9, notice, lift up your voice. I like this one. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, that's good news. Same thing as the gospel. Get up into the high mountains of Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Share. Lift up your eyes. Recognize, hey, who God is and His love for us. And then share. You know, you who bring good tidings, we have it. In all truth, we're being exposed to it this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The blessings of His love and forgiveness through His sacrifice. And, you know, the Bible says, hey, share that. And when you share it, it's like, you know, we're not to contain it, we're to share it, let it flow. And it brings life. That's what Paul told Timothy, you know, lest you also be tempted. Or for your salvation, considering your own salvation, share. You know, let others know. And opportunity this afternoon, we're going to a retirement home. Minister to the elderly. And by sharing, that's just making yourself available that the Lord would flow through you and touch another person. By that very flowing, you know, we can't harness the wind. I can't harness the Holy Spirit, but I can allow Him to move through me. You know, it's kind of like them wind termites in the desert. You know, you can't harness the wind, but you can, you know, experience the wind. It can generate power in you. But to share, lift up your voice. The message of comfort, hope, peace is available, is at hand for those who receive or want to be a recipient of it. And then verse 31, notice. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, those who are recipients, you know, the idea is, you know, lift up your eyes, you know, lift up your voice, share, and wait. Wait on His plan. You know, wait on the Spirit. You shall be renewed as a promise. Renewed in comfort, hope, peace, love, His Spirit. a renewal. Oh, Lord, make my heart new. A renewal for those who wait. Notice he says you'll be mounted up on wings of eagles. Aren't you glad he said eagle instead of a turkey? Or a chicken? But a majestic eagle soaring in the sky. You know, wait on the Lord. You'll be filled with faith, hope. You'll run and not be weary. You know, walk. You'll have energy, basically what it's saying. Energy to serve Him, energy to go forward, energy to walk the Christian walk. You know, walking with Him. Like Enoch walked with God. He promises the energy if we just meet Him on His terms, accept His terms, you know, cease fire, surrender to Him, no more war, accept His way, see who we are, see who He is, and wait on Him. He'll renew your strength. We can experience His touch, His love. So, I got a couple of notes here. If you need to make peace with Him, or if you're struggling in a war against God, you got to come to terms. And the first thing you do is lift up your eyes. He's available. You know, he's not inside of us. I mean, He comes inside of us. But the source is not generated inside of us. It comes from without. We need help that doesn't exist in our own power. Lift up your eyes to be touched by His comfort, to light up, to be lit up, to be raised up. If you're oppressed, if you're negative, if you're living in a bummer existence, you want to be raised up, you want to be lifted up. The Bible promises, come to me. His hand to raise up, lift up your eyes on His terms. Requires change, realization of who we are. You know, the Bible tells us, James says, he who, you know, gets into the Word is like a man and walks away from it and doesn't change. It's like a man who sees himself in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. You know, we're to act and respond upon His Word. That requires change, the realization of who we are. We're to contact Him. We can contact Him in His love and His care and His touch. And He can bring relief, you know, according to His heart and His spirit and His nature. Carried. I want to be carried. I feel, you know, I used to, when I was younger, I don't want to be so tough looking. That was my goal in life. But the truth is, they say that that cuts life off your lifespan. The macho guy. But that was the role model back in my day. You know, Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood, and all the, you know, macho. They didn't have married women. Don't need a woman. Kill you if you believe me wrong. But, you know, as a Christian, you know, to see yourself, man, I want to be picked up. I used to have this little figurine thing. You know, it was of a baby with his hands raised up. You know, like a baby gets, pick me up. Pick me up. Hold me. That's what Jason used to say. Hold me, hold me. And He'll carry us. So we got to know my need. I need to be carried. I'm not macho. And the truth of His strength to pick me up, I need His nurturing. I need His help. I need His touch. I need His love. Who He is, I need. So, and He promises, hey, I'll carry you in my bosom. You come on my terms. You know, I'll pick you up. I'll lead you gently. Oh, I like that. I don't want to be pushed around. And, you know, I want to experience His mercy, His love, His gentleness, available at His hand to bring comfort and peace and renewal to me today. Available. For us, the message, not what I drummed up, message from the Scripture. I like, you know, going through the Word because it's right there, under your nose, on your lap. It isn't my idea. It's His Word. It's His promise. It's His heart. So, let's stand. Let's pray. And this morning, if anyone needs, you know, if the Lord's probing and, you know, dealing with you in one capacity or another, you know, you're ready. If you're bearing witness this morning to God's voice, you need to pray. I'd be glad to pray with you. I'm just a fellow. Oh, he talks about the needy, you know, the poor and the needy, the impoverished. I'm just a fellow poor and needy guy, you know. And I'd be glad to join you in prayer. But let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It's so uplifting and true. We thank you for the realization that you give us, Lord, of the future, of what's to come. Your faithfulness, that your word doesn't fail, that endures forever. That we see, Lord, things before our eyes that you prophesied, told us what's to come. We see it. We thank you, Lord, for your offer of hope, peace, comfort today in the midst of this. Let your heart not be troubled. Lord, we ask that you move. If there's a struggle in our area, in our flesh, in our heart, if we're opposing you, if we're unwilling or disobeying you in our life, Lord, we thank you that you're putting your finger on it. And we ask, Lord, that you give us that renewal strength to lay it down at the foot of the cross, that we change, experience, build a highway, inroads for Jesus Christ, set apart our heart for the Lord God, that we offer up our life to you in truth and not fight you, surrender to you, come to you on your terms. That we experience the newness and the new era of forgiveness. Your iniquities are pardoned. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice. Take part. And I'll mount you up on eagle's wings, cause you to fly. Lord, we thank you and praise you and believe you. Honor you. Honor your word. We're here this morning because we believe in you and the future you have for us. And Lord, cause us in our heart, if we have any disagreement in our heart, according to your plan, what you're molding and shaping us into, or leading us gently in the direction of, cause us, Lord, to take your hand, accept your way, lay down our arms, our resistance, surrender, fly to the white flag for you, Lord. We thank you for your promises and for your grace. We don't deserve the gift that you give us, the mercy, the love based upon the sacrifice of your Son. We, Jesus, we come to you. We ask that you move in our hearts, Lord, and not cause us not to be like those who, you know, look in the Word and forget what they hear, look in the mirror and forget what they look like, to walk away, but to respond. Respond to what you're doing and saying in us, that you can bring forth growth according to your plan. We submit and commit ourselves afresh to you this morning. And we praise you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to sing that song?